The Frontline Forum is an opportunity for us to bring together people that are on the front lines of the acquisition workforce. They're typically our contracting officers, contract specialists, our 1102s. They come here to Washington to the White House complex, and they give us, and frankly, they give me as the administrator, a chance to hear what's on people's minds, a chance to see if our messages are actually reaching the front lines. They are a terrific thing that Steve Kelman started in the 90s, as you said. They then stopped, and I have been delighted to revive them a few months ago.
This is social networking before social networking was cool.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it was, great. I mean, I know Professor Kelman got a lot out of it because he got to actually hear challenges that people were facing that he may not have heard about up in the lofty corner office. A real opportunity to hear from the frontline folks.
Absolutely. We have now had three of these, and I'm happy to share some of the experiences with you and your listeners.
And what have those experiences been like? Are people willing to share the problems that they're having? I imagine
the members of the Frontline Forum that are listening will definitely laugh because we all commented on the fact that they are so vocal. It is just terrific. People speak and speak. It is obvious that they are not holding back. They are telling us, frankly, what's going on. We had the third one this week. The first one was in April. The second one was in July, and the third one was this past Monday. We had something like 36 people.
Wow.
From agencies as big as DOD and as small as the National Science Foundation and everything in between. Let me give you a couple of examples. We put together with them, we prepare it by email, an agenda. So we have two or three topics per session, although we also have a sort of open mic part of the segment so they can raise any issue that they want to raise. But for example, this week we talked about the challenges of the contracting officer technical representative. Your listeners know all about our COTARs.
Yep.
What a challenging role that is. They talked about the signs of improvement that they're seeing recently, but the ongoing challenges with improving that position, strengthening that position, being sure that we have people that have the time to be COTARs, that have the training to be COTARs, that have the links with the contracting officers and with the program shops to make that role work, because that is critical, especially when you're talking about large projects. As everybody knows, those COTARs are the eyes and ears of the contracting officer, and hearing from the people on the front line about the challenges and the way they think we can make progress is terrific for us.
36 people, so these are manageable enough where you can actually have discussions around some of these problems, and people can actually share ideas about what's working and what's not working.
Yes, because each one of these sessions goes on from 9 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon.
Oh my goodness.
So we have real depth in the conversation.
That's fantastic. How do you decide who's at the table?
We let the agencies decide. They can send up to 2 people. But the guidance is, as much as possible, we want these to be people on the actual front line. This is our senior procurement executives and chief acquisition officers are unbelievably important, but that this is not the forum for them. This is the forum for frontline people, and those are mostly what we're getting.
One of the issues that I know has been on your agenda, and I imagine frontline workers are having to deal with it too, is service contract inventories. Describe the issue that's in front of you and how you're dealing with it.
We are required by statute to put together service contract inventories for the civilian agencies, just like DOD has been for a few years for the defense agencies. It is a challenging task. It is some of the requirements, for example, to actually have FTE counts of contractors require clauses to be put into contracts, and to do that, you need a FAR rule. So there are lots of challenges, but we think these inventories can be very helpful in understanding where we may have over-reliance on contractors, as the president wrote in his March 2009 memorandum about government contracting. There are situations where we're overly dependent on contractors, and we think these inventories can be helpful when we want to do a thoughtful analysis of what we're using contractors for and where we may be using contractors too much.
I saw a lot of the press coverage when you put out the memo asking folks to look at their relationship. How many contractors? What's this ratio between contractors and FTEs? What are you looking for? What do you hope to learn? And how will that broaden, enable policy decisions? And what kind of policy decisions are you looking to make?
Well, as I said, the president's memo from March 2009 talks about being sure that we're not overly reliant on contractors. And let me say quickly that it is not that we're against contractors. Contractors are enormously helpful. They help us do our work. But we need to be sure that they're supporting us and not taking our roles over. We need to be sure that if work's inherently governmental, it's done by federal employees. But these inventories can help us understand, particularly in sensitive areas like professional and technical services, we want to be sure that we have enough internal capacity that we're managing and that we're maintaining control of our mission and operations.
I know that inherently governmental question becomes one of the core issues here because it a contractor sees inherently governmental much differently than you might or in an agency might. Is that part of the what you're – is that still being fleshed out? Or are you comfortable with where it stands now?
Actually, I'll tell you, Chris, I think that there is a broader consensus than you might expect about what work is inherently governmental. But we did issue a draft policy letter. We here as the Office of Federal Procurement Policy in March, and we are now finalizing that policy letter. We got a lot of input from individuals, from trade associations, from unions, from agencies. We are working our way through that so that we can finalize that so that people have concrete guidance on what is inherently governmental and needs to be done by federal employees, and also with respect to critical functions where it's all right to use contractors, what it means to maintain control of our mission and operations, how you ensure that we have enough federal employees with enough internal capacity that we can maintain control.
So these service contract inventories, will these be made public in some form or fashion, or how's it work?
Yes, they are going to be released to the public in January.
And that's just part of the process after you review them, or?
Yes, they'll be reviewed, but we want these inventories. The purpose of the inventories is to give a picture for everybody of the use that we're making of service contractors. Again, in general, the use is really helpful, but we need to understand where we may be overly dependent on them.
And the memo asked agencies to focus on professional management services and IT first. Was there a reason to focus on those particular areas as a starting point? Was that just a starting point?
The inventories are to be all encompassing eventually, but we talked about focusing on those areas because a number of people that have looked at this area, experts that have looked at this area, including GAO, the Commission on Wartime Contracting, the Acquisition Advisory Panel from a few years ago, they focused on the concern that in the professional and management services area, the technical and management services area, we may be too dependent on contractors. I will tell you that we've been listening to agencies, and agencies have said that has been a major growth area over the past 5 years, a disproportionately fast growth area, and they have some concern that they may be unduly dependent on contractors in that area.
The Professional Services Council did a deep dive with a number of contracting officials, both on both sides of the ledger, both in industry and in government. And one of the things that they found was a little bit of a disconnect between policy development and how these things actually get rolled out, the operations of them. What you heard about this survey, you've probably seen it, they probably talked to you. What was your sense of their findings?
I think there is nothing more important than in this area than focusing on the link between announcing policy and checking to be sure if it's really implemented. So in that sense, the survey pointed to a really important link. But I'll tell you, that was a survey of fewer than three dozen people who were giving their impressions. One of the advantages of something like the Frontline Forum is it's really a chance to test. You say, what initiatives are you working on? And as we went around the room this week, again, concrete examples, I heard example after example of agencies across the federal government where people are saying, in our shop, we've made real progress in improving competition. In my agency, we're working hard to get away from sole source contracts. Or in my agency, we're very concerned that we have too many time and materials contracts and we're moving towards fixed price. Those are exactly the initiative, the initiatives that we're pushing from OMB. So the word is getting out to the people on the front line. And I'll tell you, when we look at the statistics for the first half of fiscal 2010, and we'll shortly be looking at the numbers for all of 2010. What I'm seeing is that, in fact, we're making progress. We are on track to reduce the use of sole source contracts, to get away from time and materials contracts wherever we can. We're looking to expand strategic sourcing. The message is reaching the front line.
And there has to be as the leader of government procurement, there must be stories that you hear where you go, hold on, I can actually, this is one of the great things about being the big cheese, is I can help you with that problem. I can help you there.
I got to tell you, I don't call myself the big cheese, but I do say, I do view myself as someone who is trying to support our acquisition workforce. That is my number one priority, to support our acquisition workforce in all sorts of ways. And I really do think we're able to make a difference. You see it in the ways we're pushing strategic sourcing so that we're able to get easy ways to get good prices to our federal users. We've worked very closely with GSA so that the office supplies federal sourcing initiative is done in a way that's never been done before. Now, any federal employee from any federal agency that goes to any one of the 15 companies with whom GSA has set up these blanket purchase agreements, these BPAs, 13 of which are small businesses, a very important point for us all. Any federal employee can get those discounts automatically. They don't need a contract number. It doesn't matter if they contact the vendors over the web, by telephone, or going into their stores. We want to make things easy for our people. We want to get a better deal for our taxpayers. And I really feel like we're making progress on that front.
My goodness, I think most people inside government understand the challenges that these frontline workers have. But it's just almost impossible for folks outside of this space to understand the world changing so fast and the requirements. They're being asked to think in very strategic ways, and it's so important to the success of programs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one very important initiative that we're thinking about across all of OMB and all of our teams here is very large projects, especially large IT acquisition projects. There are decades of history now where these projects get behind schedule, run over cost, and end up underperforming. We are working very closely as a team with Vivek Kundra, the head of eGov, taking a leading role in this, but Jeff Science, our deputy director for management, who's also our acting director for OMB, pushing us very hard to make a real difference. Your listeners may know that Jeff Science is going to be giving a speech tomorrow at the Northern Virginia Technology Council, in which he's going to talk about this and our ideas for making progress in the short term in terms of improving IT acquisition.
And I know you, Vivek Kundra has done these tech stacks sessions, which seem to have been fairly positive. And in fact, I've talked to a couple folks who have been in them and said, hey, we actually came out of them with more knowledge about what we're doing. They were very helpful. You're thinking about that for the acquisition side as well.
We're actually almost at the end of a series of ACSTAT sessions where we're meeting with every CFO ACT agency to talk with them about their successes in their acquisition, but also their challenges. That means focusing on how they're doing with the acquisition workforce, how they're doing with strategic sourcing, with reducing the use of sole source contracts and moving away from time and materials and cost reimbursement contracts and rebalancing their workforce. They've been terrific sessions in which we have heard dozens of stories of successes, but also real challenges. We look for ways that we can support them and help them to make progress. They are frank discussions in which we are working in a collaborative way with the agencies to understand their issues and to help them move forward.